Shehuchat. It is a nutrikin. It is an acronym. It is a composite of two words. The word Shehu is the first word, and the second word is Chad, is one. When you give money to a judge, you become one with the judge, and your desire, what you want, is what the judge wants. You share a common will to achieve a specific result, which could very likely be corrupt, because the person is subject to mishpat, and mishpat can go two ways. You're manipulating, you're playing with the mind of the judge when you give money or you give benefit to a judge. The judge does not subconsciously, forget about consciously, when it's outright corruption, even subconsciously, when you are receiving benefit from someone, you become chad, one with the person. This idea is a very popular idea, and you'll find this idea in many svarim, that is what the word shaychad means. That is the etymology of this word, shehu chad. I came across an entirely different idea which very much appeals to me, which I find to be interesting. And that is, the word shaychad comes from the word chad, which also means sharp, sharpness. Chad, and it was Aramaic, I'm not sure, Vayichad Yisro. He had cuts, there were sharp points on his body. Chad, where do you find the word chad? Chidida. Prickled. So prickling is a sharpness. There's a sharpness when there was a prickle, and you put your finger on it, you feel a sharpness. You find the word chidida, or really shinina. Shinina means sharp one, but the word chidud. Chidud hasakin. The word chidud means, Rav Kalman, you're familiar with other examples of the word chidud? Sharpness. I don't have the sefer with you. There are examples where the word. Sorry? A riddle. Sharp. The sharpness of the mind? It's related. There's a relation. Chidudim, there is a relationship. I have to find a better source. It means sharpness. So, with this idea, there's a term that is used often in Piskei Halacha, to choytech es hadin. When a person goes to court and they present, there's a question that is asked, at some point in time, the bezin has to be choytech es hadin. This is an expression that is used throughout Chazal. What does that mean? It means to slice the din. How do you slice the din? The word choytech literally means you take a knife, and you cut a piece of bread, you have a loaf of bread, you have a knife, and you take the knife, and you cut, you slice. That is an expression that is used in the Chazal to describe psak halacha.
It also, when two people learn together, it said one sharpens the other.
Right, so you see the word chidud means the mechadeit zezeba halacha. Each one sharpens the other one in halacha when they debate one another. There's another expression in Chazal called chituch hadin. That's a different word altogether. Okay, chituch, that's not called chad, that's a whole different word, a whole unrelated word. Choytech es hadin. No, there's no dalet in that word. There's nothing to do with sharpness. It's just a sword. That you have a Shabbos, you have a challah, and you put down on the table bread, and you take a knife and you slice the bread. When you go to a bezdin, and there's a dispute or there's an issue, and bezdin has to deliberate, and they come to a decision, the way they render the decision is through a term called they are choytech es, and they sliced it in. It's like they provide, right now, a loaf of bread, and the loaf of bread is not edible the way it is. But when you slice a piece of bread, oh, now I give you bite size. Bite size, go here, take your bread and go home. You have now what to work with. Now, when you slice bread, you can slice the bread with a sharp knife, or you can slice the bread with a dull knife. What's the difference? If you slice the bread with a sharp knife, it goes very fast. You've all been at a suda, whether it's your own suda or you go to someone's suda, and sometimes you see the Baal HaBayis or you yourself, they slice the bread very quickly. They have a very sharp knife. And sometimes you have a special challah knife. You know, the challah knives are not always so sharp. And it takes time. You got to go, you got to back and forth, back and forth. You're not able to cut the bread so quickly because the knife is not so sharp. When you go to a Beis Din, or a Beis Din, we explain the word shaychat. Shaychat comes from the lashon of chad, sharpness. Sharpness. So when you go to a Beis Din and you present a dilemma, or there's a din Torah, there are two litigants and they're fighting over a lot of money, and Beis Din has to render a decision. So Beis Din says, you got to think about it. There's a lot of money here. Not even a lot of money, but even if it's even $1. You know, the Pischa Shel Gehenim is, Dayan has to see in front of him, the Pesach Shel Gehenim is Pesuach. And, you know, this is a serious matter. We have to think. We have to deliberate. We have to review the source material to render a decision that is correct in halacha. So they go very slow and very deliberate. But let's say the Beis Din is corrupt. A corrupt Beis Din. So the Dayan says, who's my friend here? Who's paying me more? We have two litigants, Reuven and Shimon, who has slipped under the table more money? Reuven slipped under the table $1,000. Shimon slipped $10. So, of course, the mishpat, the judgment's going to go to the side of Reuven. There's nothing to deliberate. I have enough what to work with. Reuven, you win. When a Beis Din is corrupt, and it's already been pre-decided what the law is, so when they're choytech es hadin, when they slice the din, they slice it very quickly, as if they have a sharp knife. And when there is no corruption and there's no bribes given, then when Beis Din slices the din, and this is the term that is used to describe a psak halacha, to slice the din like you're slicing a piece of bread. But you can slice a piece of bread with a sharp knife, or you can slice a piece of bread with a knife that is dull. When it's dull, it's done slowly and carefully. When the knife is sharp, it's done very swiftly. Shoychad means shehu chad. What is chad? The judges, they're very sharp. And when they come now to render their decision, which in halacha is called choytech es hadin, the chatichas hadin will be done with a sharp knife, will be done very quickly. Why? Because shoychat, because you gave them money. So the telltale sign of a din, if shoychat has been given, is when you see Beis Din has no problem giving a psak halacha. It's a very cute idea. We're combining terminology of Chazal. Combining the word is shaychad means there's three things to combine. There's something called the bribe, a shaychad. The rendering of a halachic decision is called choytech es hadin, to slice the din. And this drasha that the word shaychad is shehu chad, it is sharp. What is sharp? The knife is sharp. So when the knife is sharp, the decision is made very quickly. Without any thought.
Why are we saying that if there's a quick decision, that's because they're corrupt? Maybe it's just obvious that one is so much more right than the other. In deciding is done honestly and fairly without any shortcut at all.
Wait, say it again. I wasn't paying attention.
Are we assuming that a quick, clear decision is there's a shortcut involved? That's why they were so quick.
That's
maybe
the way it usually is.
Maybe
it's simple.
Just that the clarity in who's right and who's wrong is so clear.
Okay. It's an idea. This is just. It's a. I don't know why, but I really like this. I like it. I like it. It's a cute vart, which, Chazal have these very interesting expressions, idioms. What do you mean turns it on its head?
Because when they talk about cutting and sharp, that means that a judgment that gets to the fine points of the law, that's why it requires sharpness. and decisiveness. Here you're saying it just the opposite.
At the end of the day, it's been sliced, which brings out everything that you just said. But the method of slicing can be a slow method, or the method of slicing can be done very quickly in a split second. What is the difference? What kind of knife you're using? Shoichad means the knife is a sharp knife. You don't have to deliberate. You can be decisive in rendering a decision that is thoroughly corrupt because someone paid you a lot of money. But when the din is done honestly, then the decision is the decisiveness. At the end of the day, you've been decisive. You've split, but it is done with a knife that's dull, because there's a lot of thought, clarity that goes into making the decision. Okay, you don't like it, I accept. Let's go to another idea.
I think it's just a shoresh of three letters, the shached, and so forth. And the same three letters, if you change the order, so you can say chashad, and you can say chadash, and it's
suspicion, and it is new, it's not real, it's not okay. Okay, fine, there are a lot of different things. Okay. Okay, fine. Very good. Now we come to another idea, which is Yonin D'Yoyim, coming over very soon, and that is, we talk over here about the case of a skila. What, in what context is, I think, in the case of skila, what is the case? Yad ho'edim tiyah boi b'rishon alham yisav, yad kolom bo'acharayna, uvi'ar tohara mikir becha. This week's parasha, we learned about who is the Zoke Mamre. In reference to, where does it say the pasuk? I forgot to look at the place where it says that pasuk. Edim zaymimim. Okay, it says there's going to be mishpat is going to be taking place against a evil person. You testify in court. Yad ha'edim tiyay b'ayboi, which pasuk is a reference to? The chayvim misa is bezin. Someone witnesses come. They testify against the person, and the halacha is yad ha'edim tiye boi barishon olaham misa. This is a very important halacha, that in order to execute a person, it has to be that the witnesses who are responsible for this person's death, they must be the ones who actually put him to death. In other words, it's an amazing layer you just can't go come to court and say, oh, so we testify that so and so did this crime, and run away. To prove that you really believe what you're saying, so it opens up a whole new world of insight into what the Torah demands of witnesses. If you really believe a person is chayiv misa, you be the one who puts him to death. Yad ha'edim tiya boy barishon alaham misa v'yad kolam bo acharayna.
This one happened with Doreg Adonim.
Yeah. So
Shaul says, oh, okay, you said something, go kill them. So he did it.
You the one that parvanka. What does it say about the one that issues the psak halacha has to be the one that carries it out, and that indeed is the ad kidei kach. There's a halacha. I think it's brought down in the Rambam. Could be brought down, but it's brought down. Let's say the witnesses do not have hands. The witnesses do not have hands. Then there's no death sentence.
Right.
There has to be the yad or edin is a tnai in the misas bezdin. Let's say Rachman, let's say they have a witness who testifies Reuven killed Shimon. And then after Bez and Paskins, Reuven is Chayiv Misa. Based upon the testimony, we've done everything, the whole shock, the whole Doidish V'choyker, the Drishas, the Chakirois, Psak Halacha, Chayiv Misa. Okay, take him out. On the way out, the witness, one of the witnesses gets into an accident. And he loses his hand. So now he doesn't have a hand. You can't kill him. Even though there was a psak, if he doesn't have a hand to begin with, he can't testify. Because if there's no potential to put him to death, you're posel eidos. Ordinarily, what makes a person posel eidos? Your relative, a ganef. There are all different things that a person can
everyone is emotionally capable of killing.
So you, according to what you're saying, Enoch Nami, if you take this halacha to its natural extension, you're right. Then he can't testify.
Only by
skila, correct? Only by skila. Maybe we learn out. Maybe we learn out. I don't know the details. I don't know. Let's say we do. Skila of Yad or anything, maybe we learn out one from the other. I don't know the details. I don't know. Do we say that it only applies to Skila? And first of all, when it comes to Skila, they only throw stones on him if he does not die from being thrown off the roof. The way Skila is done is they throw him from a three-story building. Not too high, not too low. Goldilocks. If it's too low, he's not going to die. It's too high, his body will be mutilated. It's a terrible thing. You know, in Hawaii, you read the news, they're afraid. There are about 1,000 people that have been that have died.
They're missing,
and the chief of police, whatever is this person, very strange person who used to, very suspicious person himself, very strange. He says, they asked him, how come you did not identify the bodies? So I couldn't believe what he said. He says, we don't recognize the bodies. They've been completely burnt. And when we pick them up, they disintegrate. That's what he said on public television. When they pick them, we pick up their bodies, they turn into dust. So we have a very hard time working with the bodies to identify the bodies. DNA, this whole thing is getting more bizarre by the minute. More bizarre by the minute, where you have 1,000 bodies, the whole fire, what in the world is going on? The whole story, every second, is getting more and more strange. What happened? There was a hurricane. Well, there's a tornado and a whole
hurricane blew the fire.
Ad kedei kach. Ad kedei kach. There was never such a thing like this. There was never such a fire. People are beginning to wake up and ask a lot of questions now.
Yes.
This doesn't make any sense. Sorry, it doesn't make any sense. People are now, first, when you start hearing what they're saying.
It happened in Eretz Yisrael. You had a problem of prisoners that was burnt up in the fire near Haifa.
In such a large scale, a whole city like this? All right, it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. It's horrific, horrific tragedy, and there are a lot of questions that people are first beginning to wonder what in the world is going on here.
Everyone but Biden
is one.
Everyone is beginning to be asked questions. This doesn't seem right. You know, when the fire department comes to a house, they find in a second. Fire department comes to a location before they even walk in there. They're so trained they can tell you how the fire started. I know of a place where there was a fire. How did the fire start? Someone was vaping, and the vapor was powered by a battery. A cheap battery from China, and the battery exploded. What were you doing vaping? You're underage, okay? Fire department figured out in a second. It's because an electric battery, it was amazing how they knew this. They figured out in a second. Oh, they said, it was an air conditioner. Oh, baloney, it wasn't the air conditioner. They right away figured out it was a very big bushu chlima as to how the fire really started. They know in a second what's going on. The point is the Yad Ha'edim Tia by Barishaina.
That's one exception. And Sora Moira.
A Ben Sora Moira.
His parents don't. It's Yad Kalawa. The town people call on Shei Robo Avon Invomes.
Okay, fine. Okay. I don't know what the rules, regulations, you have to know the Mefarshim, the Dalam is Bezdin, but there is definitely such a principle over here where it says in the Pasuk, V'yad in Tima Berishayna. What am I telling you this for? In Yonah D'Yoma. Soon, this week, Thursday, Friday, Ha'bolin L'Toiv is Rosh Chodesh Elul. We begin the time of Selichos. Not right away, Sfardim right away. Ashamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu Dofi, Hevinu, Virashamnu, V'chulu. And what is the Minig Yisrael? When you clap Al Chait, what do you do when you clap Al Chait? You take your fist, and you bang on your, the Mishnah Berurah says, it's a big machlokes in the Kabbalah, what are you supposed to bang? Some say, the Mishnah Berurah says, either your heart or your lungs. Why the heart? So what's the lamdis? The Mishnah Berurah makes it, he says both. The Mishnah is the only one who says both. All the other Mepharshim, they say either, the most say the heart, and some say the lungs. Why the heart? Ato goramta. You take your hand, and you're basically saying to the heart, it's your fault. You are the evildoer. You, my heart, leiv choymeit, you're the cause of me doing this aveira. You forced me. Or you're not forced, but you're a mesis. You're a mediach. The heart. The heart influenced me to do this aveira. So you take your fist, and you bang your heart to blame. It's the blame game. Okay, so on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, during Slichas, you're playing the blame game. Ato goramto li lachato. You, my heart, you influenced me. Leiv choyme to do the Avera, and you deserve some blame. Other commentators tell us that Alpi Kabbalah, you're not supposed to hit your heart. You're supposed to hit your chest. Why? Because Alpi Kabbalah, I don't know what in the world this means, the Yetzer Hara resides in the chose, in the chest, in the lungs, the chest. This is where it sits. It's a Kabbalistic concept. I don't know what this is all about. The Lev is really good. Lev Tohar Barli Elokim. So where's the Yetzer Hara? The Yetzer Hara is found in the chose, in the chest. So you don't hit the heart. What are you starting up with the heart? What are you looking for problems? You hit the chest. In the chest is where the Yetzer Hara resides. The Mishnah Berurah says one or the other. You decide. Alpi Kabbalah, you're supposed to use your right hand, and you're supposed to hit the left chamber, right, or the heart. There's the right chamber and the left chamber. So some say that the Yetzer Tov is in the right chamber, and the Yetzer Hara is in the left chamber. So you're supposed to use, you have to know anatomy, know exactly what to do here. You're supposed to use your right fist and hit the left side of your heart. That's towards the, that's the heart is on the left side. By the way, did anyone know that? The heart is on the left side? The heart is on the left side. No, it's not in the middle, it's on the left side. It's on the left side. The left side of the left side, exactly.
It would be in the center, though. The
left side
of the heart would be in the center.
No. If the heart is on the left side, and you're hitting on the left side of the heart, that's the left of the left. It's extreme. The left of the left. The heart is on the left side. And you're hitting on the left of the left of the heart. There are two chambers in the heart. There's the left chamber and the right chamber. And the heart is situated on the left. So you're basically hitting on the extreme left of your, not the extreme left, the extreme left of your body. Since the heart is situated primarily more to the left than to the right, it's not in the center, it's on the left side. And the heart has two chambers, the right side and the left side. So when you hit on the left side of your heart, you're hitting on basically on the extreme part of your body. And which fist should you use? Your right. You use your right fist to hit on the left side of your heart, which happens to reside on the left side of your body.
For a right hit, the left side, the feeling is closer to the left side.
For a right, for a lefty, yeah, so you don't have to go so far. I don't think there's a difference. Does a lefty use his left hand when he does al chit? I think not. I think a lefty uses his right. Everyone is universal. Universal clapping, because since the heart is on the left side anyway, even by a righty, the heart is on the left side. You see, a lefty, the heart's on the left side for everyone, unless the person
only
is...
Only left-handed people are in the right mind.
No, but they say that's not true anymore. They've proven that's not true anymore. They don't do that. Okay. Left-sided people not in their right mind anymore. The scientific myth, and as a metaphor, it's also a myth. Lefties are crazy. 10% of the population, 10% of the population are lefties. I have a whole right in every country. They have the statistics on what is the percentage of people in every country who are lefties. Very interesting. Some countries only 8%, some 7%, some 13%. I think America's, there are more lefties in America than most countries. Well, maybe if you assume.
Especially now.
Especially now, a lot of lefties in America.
Sure.
A lot of, okay, but let's, so now, So this is what we do. You hit with your right hand on the left side of the heart, and you, what you're asking, saying is, Atah Goramto Li, you, my heart, you are the cause of the chait. You caused me to sin because of your taivis. Or some say no, hit on the chest, because the chest is where the Yetzirah Hara resides, Alpi Kabbalah, the Mishneh Berurah. It's a very unique Mishneh Berurah. The Mishneh Berurah, Imamish, he did his homework, he went and he cites, no one says this, no one goes and says both, one or the other. You look in the Gedolei HaPoskim, where all this comes from, it's either the left, it's either the heart, or it's the Chozeh. The only one that says one or the other is the Mishneh Berurah. Okay, put that aside. I came across a nayatam, a whole new reason why you hit with your hand on your heart. Nothing to do with saying ato goramto, you caused me. It's because of the pasuk in this week's parasha. Yad ho'edim tiye boi barishayna laham yisai. The hands are the witnesses. And in fact, the hands are the objects which probably did the avera. The hands are the witnesses. Your hands are always attached. Someone said to me, you're so forgetful. It's a good thing that your head is attached to your body, because if it wasn't, you would have lost your mind. You would have lost your head. You'd have lost your head. Hashem did us a taiva, that he attached the head to the body so it shouldn't get lost. If the head wasn't attached to your body, it would get lost. Well, the hands are also attached to the body, and therefore the hands are witnesses. They're witnesses for all of the chato'im that a person has done. The Mela, it is a kiyum of yad, Ho'edim tihiye boi barishayna. When you clap al chait, in addition to the common understanding, atah, you goramta, you're not using the hands as a pointer and holding the heart guilty. The hands are the yad ho'edim. The yad ho'edim tihiye boi barishayna. That's what it means here in this pasuk. New idea. Now, as an aside, came across a very interesting shaila. We all know that when we daven, that's the minhag Yisrael, he's supposed to clap al chait. Question, yes, Rav Baruch Horowitz, Gabbai, what about the shliach tzibur? When the shliach tzibur, chazor sashatz, he's repeating the Shemon Esrei, the shliach tzibur, does he clap al chait with his fist? Everyone in the tzibur does, right? So the minhag ha'olam, beyond a question of a doubt, and this is what it says in the Sefer Oitzah Polois, quotes from Poiskim, is don't confuse me with the facts. Let's not even go even ask the question. It is a davar pashut. The minhag ha'olam, and don't deviate, is the shliach tzibur as well. He claps al chait like every single private individual. Okay. However, they asked in the Sefer, he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky and Rav Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he told him, no, the Shliach Tzibur does not clap al chait when he recites the repetition of the Shemona Esrei and al chait. Why? The heart of the Shliach Tzibur is not the heart of the people. When he's doing Chazor Sashatz and he's saying, Oshamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu, the Shliach Tzibur is saying this to represent the Tzibur. What does his heart have to do with the heart of the people who he represents? The Pashm Shal, he says, Ato Garamtali. Yes, so when you want to go and be misvade, your private chatoim, so you say to your heart, Ato Garamta, you are guilty. You are the cause of all my problems. But the Shliach Tzibur, if he's reciting the Chazor Sashatz, what is the Chazor Sashatz? He's representing the Tzibur. You're going to say that the Shliach Tzibur's heart is the cause of everyone in this room, all of their averos? Not true. Everyone did averos because they did averos. Not because the heart of the Shliach Tzibur is the goyrein, has an effect on everyone over here in the room who is being represented by the Shliach Tzibur. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, paskins without any hesitation, no, the Shliach Tzibur, when he recites the Chazor Sashatz and gets to the Vidui on Yom Kippur, does not, in the Chazor Sashatz, clap al chait. Rabbi Zichumen very quickly after he quotes Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who paskins unequivocally not to do it, he then quotes other Gedolei Yisrael that totally disagree. And of course, the Shliach Tzibur says Al Chait and acknowledges this is the Mina Ka'olam. But you know, Rav Chaim Kanievsky is Gadol Hador, Zech Tzadik Livracha, and you know, it's interesting to hear a different opinion in these inyanim. Okay, another interesting idea came across. Tamim, this is basically Tamim Tia Im Hashem Lokach. This parasha should learn about Tamimus. Tamim Tia Im Hashem Lokach, and this sparks the big topic of Ein Mazel LiYisrael. We all know that Klal Yisrael is not subject to Mazel. A person can break out of Mazel with a Koyach HaTefila. Ein Mazel LiYisrael. If that's the case, Ein Mazel, and we're brought up with this. Tamim Tia Im Hashem Lokach. It's Ein Mazel. You have a direct communication to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This basic, simple question: why is it then that when we go to a celebration, we wish one another Mazal Tov? There's no Mazal Yisrael. It's a very basic question, okay? And it's really hard to get a good answer to this question. What do you mean Mazal Tov? A Mazal Tov. Either you have a Mazal Tov, or you don't have a Mazal. It's not something that's a good, that's subject to a good or bad. It is what it is, and in fact, Ein Mazel Yisrael. There is no Mazel. So, and we're brought up, Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha. You should say that Hashem, you give a bracha to your friend, Hashem should be, you should have Siyata D'Shemaya. You should have bracha, you should have nachas, everything should be, you should be successful. What kind of bracha is this that Klal Yisrael wishes one another Mazal Tov? So in the Rabbi Dvorkis, he has a very nice piece on this. He goes through this thing of Ein Mazel Yisrael. What he basically says is, even those who say Ein Mazel Yisrael, it doesn't mean there's no Mazel. Everyone has Mazel. Even Avraham Avinu had Mazel. Every person that comes into this world is born with a predisposition as to what's going to happen. Just like by the Umay Sa'olam, they have Mazel, there is astrology, and there's a lot of Chochmah in this. Okay, the Rabbeinu Yoni brings that over here. There's a difference of opinion. The Rambam says astrology is, he has all these very interesting words. It's Hevel, Shav. He has a whole bunch of things which says it's total nonsense, total baloney to look into the stars and to see what's going to happen into the future. He's mevatlid in the strongest terms possible. I actually wrote down the words. The Rambam says that it's tagninus, astrology. He writes as hevel, shav, kozov, the ein bohem mamish. Four different terms. Going and looking into the stars and seeing formulations and figuring out what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen to you, to this country, to this, to that. The Rambam, his words are, Umutzinu al kach machlokes rishonim ledas Rambam beperish haMishnayis lavoy dezar daf nun dalid kol maaseho itztag ninus heim divrei hevel vishav vichozov ve'ein bohem mamish. Okay, that's the Rambam. The Nemuke Yosef Rishon thoroughly disagrees with the Rambam, and he says this is there's tremendous chokhmah in what goes on. He writes here in Sanhedrin, he writes Shezoi chokhmah gedoyla ugezera shegaz haKadosh Baruch Hu meishesh meabreishes lahanig oylamay lifi mareches hakoychavim. Totally disagrees with the Rambam 180 degrees, is that it's tagninus, stargazing, is a chokhmah that is emes. And if you know what you're doing, you can look into the stars and you can see all the future events. However, there's a principle called Ein Mazel LiYisrael, which means, even though in Shemayim you see all of these things, it's subject to interpretation, And it can mean many different things. Everyone knows the classes, Rashi and Chumash, over and over, is that it's Tagnine Paro, they saw that today, that the Moshion Shel Yisrael will be smitten with Mayim. And they, in their foolishness, thought that they can manipulate that, so they call Abein Hayiloid, Hayoira Tashlichu. They're going to smite the Moshion Shel Yisrael by throwing Moshe Rabbeinu, all the Jewish children, into the Nile. And then what Rashi and Chumash, what was it, what Taka did it mean? Is Taka true? The Moshion Shel Yisrael was smitten with Mayim, the Mayim of the hitting the rock, then Moshe, he hit the rock instead of spoke to the rock, and that is why he was denied entry into Eretz Yisrael. So Taka, you see this something to it, but you don't know what it means. It can mean many different things. It can be reinterpreted. So that the Nemuka Yosef says it's not Hevel, this Chochmah, but don't get too carried away with it. Now, based really upon the Nemuka, what does the Rambam then say? No, the Rambam, you have to attach the Rambam. The Rambam is Kodesh Kodoshim. The Rambam said that it's Hevel, Shav, because of Eimei Mamish, you have to know what the Rambam means. The Rambam is the Rambam. Let's not get carried away. 95% of Halach and Shulchan Aruch is the Halakha Rambam. So let's not get carried away with the Rambam. But the Nemuka Yosef says it's a Groysa Chachma, but it's subject to interpretation and manipulation, if you want to say, of what these things mean. So really, based upon that, is what it means, the way Rabbi Dvorkis, in the name of different Gedolei Yisrael, he explains, that's really what it means when you wish a person Mazal Tov. Ichul Birchas Mazal Tov. Who does he say this in the name of? He writes here, the Michlam Elio. Okay, you can't get better. No. I'm sorry, that's another idea. I'm jumping the gun. No. Yes and no. I have to go read more clarity. Who says what? Who says what? Could be.
If I may, let me just throw out the heats. Throw it out. But I wanted to say, but I held back a little bit. But I'm just saying. In other words, when it says Ein Mazel Yisrael, does not mean Ein Mazel Yisrael. Yesh Mazel Yisrael. But it means they have the power to come out.
Okay.
It's true.
It's exactly what we're trying to say. Exactly.
However, a yid is not bound. It's not determined.
He can come out and he can.
Exactly. You said the whole shiur.
He's not bound by it.
You hit the nail on the head. Exactly. Rav Mordechai, you said exactly what I'm trying to bring out. Is that so? What then, according to this, if Einaz, what does it mean when you wish a person mazal tov? So what it means is, the way you have, the Michlam Elio explains, is you are acknowledging when you were born, you came into this world, there's a mazel. You go to a wedding. This is your bashert. There's a mazel. In Shemaim, there's a mazel. But that mazel can go many different ways. By Moshe Rabbeinu of Klal Yisrael wasn't worthy. Moshe could have drowned. They saw in Shemayim, they saw in the stars, the Stagnini Paro, that the Moshion Shel Yisrael is going to be smitten by Mayim. What does that mean? It could have meant that Moshe will drown if Klal Yisrael were not deserving. What else did it mean? Ultimately, what did it mean? It meant that Moshe would be denied entry into Eretz Yisrael because of the chait of the Mei Meriva. But guess what? It could have meant something else. It could have meant, who knows what it could have meant? If Moshe Rabbeinu would not have hit the rock, Klal Yisrael would not have angered him, it could have meant something else totally.
But even connected completely the stars, let's say the stars say, Abraham, you're not going to have any children. But nevertheless, he can overcome Keneged the
mazel
you're saying
an idea that you can completely negate the mazel in its entirety.
Right.
Okay, that's a chiddush. I don't know. That's a chiddush.
You can completely negate.
Okay.
So that
could very well be true. Absolutely. But when you wish your fellow man, like where Rav David is saying, but you can't talk now, quitting on time.
Now, when you wish somebody, a person will say,
don't be insulted, don't be insulted. Okay, let me try to say what you're both saying. Mordechai is saying a point, and David is saying a point. And this is what we come out with, we're trying to say. Between the two, you're saying like this. There is a mazel.
Yes.
There is a mazel. Mm-hmm. And the mazel will come out, but the mazel can be interpreted an infinite number of ways. Then there is a time when the mazel is completely negated. Keren Mordechai, there is a time, ein mazel liYisrael. Just because there's a mazel, the mazel is completely ignored. Tzei me'itzdag nina shelecha. Who is zoiche to such a thing? To say, tzei me'itzdag nina shelecha. You have to be from the greatest of the great. Or you have to be a person that is... Or let me say my piece, and you'll argue. Give me a few moments. In order to be zoiche to the ultimate madrega of tzei, may it's dagnina shelacha, to completely subvert the mazel, totally not subject to the mazel, you cancel the mazel, you have to be a very great person, or a person that really works on himself, davens with a full heart and soul, does works on himself to earn that blessing where you can say, a mazel. You have subverted the mazel entirely. Avram, it says that Avram's is not going to have children, but you're not Avram, you're Avraham. You have found a legal loophole due to your chesed and your ma'asim tovim and your righteousness. Ein mazel. But the average person doesn't merit that. The average person, also when we say ein mazel Yisrael, someone learned also for the nation, Klal Yisrael, as a whole, versus Yechidim, the Prat. There's the Klal and there's the Prat. Ein Mazel Yisrael is a concept which applies to the nation, the Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker, or maybe it applies to a Yochid. But the Yochid has to be on an exalted level of spirituality who have special merit, special Zuchus Avos. But the average Yochid, the average Joe, the average Beryl who lives his life, the reality is they're not zoiche to completely break out of their mazel. They're not. They're not. But what does the average person, the average simple person, have the ability to do? I'm within the framework of the mazel, but the mazel could be manipulated. It could mean a million things. Just because you see that the Moshiach and Shel Yisrael is smitten with Mayim, it doesn't mean he has to drown. It doesn't mean that he has to not enter into Eretz Yisrael. It means that his pool that he has in Lakewood needs a new filter, and he has to go pay $500 to get someone to fix the pool. The Moshiach and the water is no good, so he has to get someone to fix the water. It means that the pipe leaked in his basement. That's all it means when you saw in the stars the Moshiach and Shelter was smitten with Mayim. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu had to call the plumber and had to pay $35 to fix the valve. That's all it means. $30. That's all it means. Moshe, I'll do for you for free. For free. Rabbinic service. So there are tzvei dinim. There are Gidoile Yisrael, or Klal Yisrael, or people with tremendous merit, that are Zoyche to where Mordechai said, Ein Mazel. Yeah?
Don't mix the two together.
What do you mean?
On a national level, we are distinguished from all other nations.
Correct.
In that sense of in terms of Madrega. Within Klal Yisrael, there are people...
Not everyone agrees to what you just said. Some will hold that even the Yochid.
Otherwise, you're mixing the two things.
No, I'm saying even some hold that even a Yochid in Klal Yisrael can achieve Ein Mazel.
Yes.
Right.
But some say what you said originally, a Yochid is subject to a Mazel, but the Klal Yisrael as a whole.
But it's not two different things.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, but it's not deterministic. That's the point.
It's not?
Deterministic.
Correct. But then there is the average Joe. The average person is not Klal Yisrael. He's not a person that's a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. He's a regular guy. He was born with a mazel. He was born with a predisposition, just like in the body. You're prone to do certain behavior. There's certain things. Your destiny is already the average person. An average person has the ability within the mazel to channel what the mazel says from bad to good. If the mazel says you're going to be smitten with water, it could mean you're going to drown. Or it could mean you're not going into Eretz Yisrael because of the memory of war. Or it could mean that I need to get a new valve on my water pipe. It can mean even maybe a bracha. When you go to a chasana, you're going, Chazal, there's a min hanach lahem li Yisrael, an enam nevim b'nei nevim. When you go to a chasana, the nusach mazel tov is something that you say to the average person. You're realistic. You don't go to a chasana and say, oh, ein mazel li Yisrael. Congratulations, you met the kala, you married the kala. You were really supposed to get married to a woman that would torture you to death. But look at this. Congratulations, ein mazel li Yisrael, you married a tzadekis. You say to the kala, mazel, you were supposed to marry a meshugana. Mazel tov. You went, ein mazel li Yisrael, you married a tzadek. No. When you go to a chasna, the average person, you say to the person, you know something? You're marrying what was bashert. This is what was meant for you. This is your mazel. Don't expect miracles in mazel. You got your aveda. A chosim kala, chazal, it's the rib, it's your aveda. But you know something? Sometimes the mazel is not so pleasant. Sometimes what was meant to be for you, it's not all that ay ay ay. But now when we come to participate in your simcha, we give you a bracha. The mazel is just wet cement. Is that the mazel should be manipulated and directed and guided in such a way that the result will be for you toiv. So these are the madregas. There is three levels. It's fixed and you're stuck. There's no room to budge. You got a mazel and you're stuck. Pashut, a goy is like that. That's what it seems like. A goy is stuck in a mazel. That's the way it is. You're stuck. That's your destiny. It's not going to get better. A Jew can live within mazel, but the mazel by a Jew can be manipulated. It's subject to interpretation. And then there is the greater principle of a mazel. Who cares what the mazel says? You act. That is miyuchid for the klal. That's not for the individual. When we wish one another mazal tov, we're living in the world of reality. You're a yid. You're not a goy. A goy, you say, good luck. Luck, right? Nuch, whatever will be. You know, it's funny, we say good luck. Good luck, really, translation of mazal tov really means good luck. Yeah. Isn't that really what it means? Mazal is luck to a certain, I don't know, luck, but it's like, you know, whatever, good. Okay, to a guy you say, whatever was meant to be, is meant to be. A yid, you say, there are certain things that are meant to be, but there's a lot of room. There's a lot of room to maneuver. It should work out within that situation the best. The best. Whatever mazel you have, you should interpret the water. You should get a pool in Lakewood, a nice big pool. An ein mazel is the ultimate. But that is not something you wish one another. Because that's not for the faint of heart. That is for the Klal Yisrael. All right, Rabbi Yisai, thank you for listening. Good day. Amen.